Blog Talk Radio.
Transfigure us, O Lord, transfigure us, O Lord. Break the chains that bind us, speak your healing word, and where you lead we'll follow. Transfigure us, O Lord. Down from heights of glory, into the depths below, the love of God self-emptied, the love of God to show. You light the path before us, the way that we must go.
Transfigure us, O Lord, transfigure us, O Lord. Break the chains that bind us, speak your healing word, and where you lead we'll follow. Transfigure us, O Lord.
Light for those in darkness, the hungry have their fill. Glad tidings for the humble, the healing of all ills. In these we glimpse your glory, God's promises fulfilled.
Hello and good morning. Transfigure us, O Lord. Today we're going to break open the gospel for this Sunday. And we hear about the transfiguration, something that many of us can remember, and it is one of the most told and renounced stories across the Christian faith. A reading from the Gospels according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning the rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, they had no idea what was going on. When Jesus said, you are not allowed to tell anyone until after the risen, the resurrection has happened. And they're like, what resurrection? What are you talking about? There's no such thing as a resurrection. That's really what they're like. They're like, okay, whatever. Because what they hadn't sunk in yet was the cloud and the voice saying, this is my beloved son. The city of Jerusalem was built on the top of two mountains, you see. The Temple Mount, as it came to be called, was Mount Moriah. I hope I'm saying that right. The site of the temple stands Mount Zion, the site of David's fortress. So close, they practically form one site and were enclosed within one set of walls. Even today, when you visit Jerusalem, you can see the Western Wall and the Old Temple, called the Wailing Wall, Mount Moriah, and the Citadel of David, Mount Zion. It is to the Mount Moriah that God sends our father in faith, Abraham, to sacrifice his son, Isaac, whom God has given Abraham as a special gift. This second Sunday of Lent features this story and the gospel story of the transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor. Both are stories of great faith. Because of his love, relationship with God, Abraham is able to trust God even under the most trying circumstances. He is willing to surrender anything and everything, including his own son, to faithfully live in that love. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John on a mount for a divine experience of the presence of God. They see his divinity. So heavenly is it this moment that Peter wants to stay there forever. Jesus says the moment is enough. We must come down from the mount and live in the world we both feet firmly planted here. Faith, trust in his presence when life gets difficult here. It is all a matter of our faith and love relationship with God. That is what we want to strengthen during the season of Lent. This is why we sacrifice by taking away and adding in. Why we focus on a sin and hope with his grace to lower the barrier. It is to our own divine relationship of love. The KISS method, keep it simple, sinner. One sin, one add-in, one thing taken away. It is not about the mountain. It is about what happens there. Jesus will die there for the love of us. Because another father will not spare his son. He will give him up for love of us. This is love, real true love, and pure love. Don't you just love Lent? Smile and enjoy being loved by him. During today, during this week, what we need to think about in our prayer time and throughout the week when we're, you know, going along with our daily business, is what are we doing this Lent? Like I said, the KISS method, the keep it simple sinner. If you are going through Lent and you're finding it very easy, you need to add something in and take something out. Because at the end, one thing will be taken away, and that is the sin. So you take something out, you add something in, and at the end of it, something will be taken for good, something gone. So that is what I want to challenge you this week. That is to really look at Christ and what he did and think about this. Do you remember when Peter, the other two apostles, thought to themselves, what resurrection? What is Jesus talking about? I can't say anything about this until after the risen one. Think about this week. If there was no resurrection, the crucifixion would be meaningless. If there was no resurrection, the crucifixion would be meaningless. We're going to take a break. And actually, this break comes from Justin Stroh. It's going to give you a deeper in-look into this week's gospel. And I think it's pretty neat. Also, if you're listening and you want to call in to ask any question you want about the Catholic Church, if you have a comment on the show, in the gospel, or anything else you'd like to share with us, I would love for you to call in at 347-989-9663. 0056.
Duke and Altum. Duke and Altum.
Hello, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. It's exciting to be on a mountaintop. Many mountaintop experiences are called that because from there you can see things in life. You get the view, and Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor to give them a new view. At the base of Mount Tabor is a great plain where many battles have taken place throughout history, even before the time of the apostles. And of course, when they're walking up that mountain with Jesus on the pilgrimage that day, I'm sure they thought about those battles. When they got to the top of the mountain, Jesus shows them a great vision of the Blessed Trinity. They hear the voice of the Father speak the truth. This is my beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit shines like the sun, and Jesus' garments are filled with the love between the Father and the Son. This great vision is a consolation to the apostles who are about to be sent back down that mountain to do battle as well. Jesus shows them how he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets in Moses and Elijah, who he is conversing with, showing that he is indeed divine. He is outside of time, yet inside of time in his incarnation. And this great gift that he gives to us today, to be able to think and to meditate on the reality that the apostles, Peter, James, and John, were allowed to be present at this magnificent transfiguration. They could see what Jesus sees. Wow. It's great to be one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, because we are with Peter, James, and John as they descend down the mountain. We often don't want to descend down the mountain to do battle, yet we're sent by our Lord into the battle of prayer. And the apostles have to enter into the battle of prayer because the passion of our Lord is coming, and he tells them that it's coming. This is a part of our Christian life, our Christian mystery that we're living. And in Lent, we, in a specific way, we are called to do that battle on a daily basis. When we fail in daily prayer, we fail our baptismal vows. So let us return to the Lord and repent from sin, repent from the lack of prayer in our life, and take a leap forward in the joy. A leap forward in the joy who is Jesus himself. That's what our Holy Father invited us to do in his apostolic letter on the joy of the gospel. That is, to enter into a new way that presents to the world this brand new way of living. And it's always new. It's always new. It's always new because Jesus Christ is God. And he's not bound by past, present, nor future. He is all of them in one. And so every time we encounter him, every morning in prayer, it's new. He always has something really great to show us. So I invite you to take on that battle. Enjoy the presence of the Blessed Trinity in your life. See how the Lord explains the law and the prophets to you. And live your Catholic life to the full.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Proclaim Jesus Christ as the true Son of God. Welcome back. If you'd like to call in, ask a question, give a comment, the guest call-in number is 347-989-0056. And I'll be more than happy to take your call. So, Justin just gave us another challenge. And I have to bring up my point again. There was no resurrection. The crucifixion would be meaningless. Meaningless. Jesus has already gave us a look into the future. If you can tell us the news after the resurrection. And of course, Jesus knew that the apostles were going to be confused, and they were confused. And we know that in a short few weeks, Jesus will rise again. And he will be with us eternally. He also tells us to add in our morning and evening prayer to our lives. And if you're not doing that, if you're not starting the day and ending the day with prayer, you need to add that in. My friends, you will see so many changes in your life by simply adding 2-3 minutes of prayer twice a day. We have our first call. Hello, how are you?
Doing good, brother, and you?
I'm doing well.
Good, Seth. Hey, if you ever need an extra co-host, if Diane can't make it for some reason, I'll be happy to fill in. I've been listening to radio for many, many, many years.
Okay. Good to know.
But my question for you is, brother, if Francis, our current pope, or any future pope, were to call for a third Vatican Council, do you think the main theme or a main theme of it will be getting the Anglicans, Lutherans, and Greek Orthodox back into full communion with us?
It is possible, and it is with the works of Christ that it will be made possible, Chase, and we have to not only think about it, but we have to pray about it. And so, as you said, with Francis and our other popes for the future, if they will, you know, try to lead them back. And my question, or my answer to you is, yes, certainly. And we always remember them in prayer, trying to bring them back one by one. And if you're listening in and you are falling away from the church, if you have joined another religion, or if you're not even Catholic, you're welcome at the Catholic Church, and we're glad to have you with us. It is always such a beautiful, beautiful thing to see when so many people join and enter the church. Actually, the second Sunday of Lent always marks the rite of election. And the rite of election occurs when candidates that are going to receive First Communion, Baptism, and Confirmation, Easter Vigil, are announced to the bishop at this big ceremony. And I know here, I was part of this last year. Ours is occurring today. So we need to keep them in our prayers as they continue to journey through this great time of preparing for full union with the church. Thank you for your call, Chase, and that was a great question to ask. I'm glad you brought it up. The next thing I want to head back to is adding the prayer in. Today, for the first time, for those of you who know me, I'm part of the Knight of the Cross, because I'm enrolled in the Militia Immaculata, and we are to do this daily devotion prayer from our book that we get when we enroll. And I finally prayed all the prayers today in a row, and oh my gosh, they are so beautiful. I was just so happy when I was doing this and praying this. But I want to talk to you real quick about Lenten nourishment. You need to go to Eucharistic Adoration, the Stations of the Cross, as well as Reconciliation quite often throughout Lent. Now, if you are in the Diocese of Fort Wayne through South Bend, this Thursday, March 5th, from 6 to 8 p.m., all parishes in the Fort Wayne-South Bend Diocese are going to be hosting The light is on, and we're here to help you. The Sacrament of Reconciliation from 6 to 8 p.m. in all parishes in Fort Wayne, South Bend Diocese. That's a very beautiful thing occurring in my diocese, and perhaps it will be in yours. And I believe this is a global thing. It's called The Light is On for You. So I think it's beautiful, and I will be definitely taking up the offer. And I'm glad they're doing this, because we will be able to lead many back to the church, hopefully, cross our fingers. So we're going to take this episode to an end now. I must tell you that tonight at 7:45, we'll be doing the live rosary through YouTube, which is a live event. You can find the link on Facebook's groups and my profile to join in at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Also on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet on YouTube Live, as well as another episode tomorrow at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be discussing today, by the way, is the World Day for Prayer to End Christian Persecution. So if you're listening, I want you at 2 p.m., whatever your time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, whatever it may be, I want you to stop and pray to an end to Christian persecution. There have been millions of people joining in with us, as well as Pope Francis and some other bishops and cardinals that have been able to hear the news. So just take advantage of this time, because many of us here in America do not know what it is like to be under attack for believing in God. For those of you who don't know, this past week, 90 to 120 women, children, and elderly were taken and kidnapped from their homes and slaughtered by ISIS in Syria. The Middle East is not shaping up well for Christians, because they simply believe in God. At 2 p.m. Eastern, Central, whatever 2 p.m. you live near, please stop and pray an end to Christian persecution, as well as tonight's live rosary, which begins at 7:45 p.m. Eastern. We'll be also offering up our main intention for an end to Christian persecution. I pray for you all. I hope you have a blessed week, and I want you to remember something. If there was no resurrection, the crucifixion would be pointless.